everybody.
Welcome back to the Mile Higher Podcast, episode 85. And today we are talking about the Salem witch trials because we decided to do all spooky topics for October like we did last year. We found that to be really fun. We love spooky season, so we were all about it. And so every week we're going to have a different topic that's kind of considered to be spooky or paranormal or something
definitely,
like that.
Definitely.
And so today we are getting historical with it, and we're going to be talking about the Salem witch trials, which is very, very interesting. I have done a video on it, but I just watched it today. The audio quality is so bad. Can I just say that first? I didn't have a microphone
for
a while.
It's all right, man. It's all
right. It was crazy. But I mean, it had some good information in it. It was only 11 minutes long, so there's so much more for us to explore. So we thought, let's do a whole podcast on this because it's one of our most requested topics.
And it's honestly just a crazy ass event that happened because
it really is.
There's just nothing like it, like of recent in America that we can even think about that is even remotely as bad as that was.
No, like, it was very
bizarre. It's craziness, man. So I'm excited to talk about it too.
I am too.
And we've also got some crazy news that happened this week as well that, man. But before we jump into those stories, I'd like to thank our sponsors for today, Bombas, Calm, Ritual, and Postmates. Thank you guys. But yeah, let's go ahead and jump right in. So this first story just recently happened, and this guy's crazy, man. So he's a 68-year-old guy from the Kansas City region, and he literally went from Missouri to Northern California as he's an arsonist with the intention of setting a bunch of fires there.
I can't imagine being that sick to do something like that.
I'm just like,
what is wrong with you? And you can tell by his picture that he just looks like a disgusting human.
Yeah, Freddie Graham
was Freddie fucker.
Arrested and jailed on $500,000 bond.
That's absolutely insane.
Because he apparently he's like a, you know, there's people that are just really into pyrotechnics and all that kind of stuff. And you know, so
there's people that are obsessed with fires.
And burning things too. Mm-hmm. Obviously, an arsonist burns shit down. So yeah, so he got arrested. But what's crazy is that, so he went to California, rented a car, and then he would like light napkins on like fast food napkins on fire and just throw them out the window as he drives by
sicko.
All these different spots and started all these grassland fires everywhere.
You're basically a serial killer of nature and animals.
Exactly. That's exactly
what. Like you must get off on it in some way.
Oh yeah. I think he's done this before in the past, in other ways, but yeah,
that's the last thing California needs is people starting fires.
That's seriously, stupid. That's
infuriating.
I mean, you can just tell how intentional this act was, because he knew California was super, you know, vulnerable to fires and
drove all the way
just
out
had
there.
Huge fire, grassland fires and stuff. And
yeah.
So he goes out there and lights them all on fire. But his dumb ass was driving back to the airport after he did these things, and somebody actually saw him leaving the
after
scene of the crime.
Something.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Wrote his license plate down.
Wow.
And literally as he's going back to the airport. Yeah.
That's what you
gotta
do.
Got
That's
and,
why it's so important. If you see anything sketchy like that.
Well, and they said that if this person had it provided that tip, they may or may not have solved this either.
No, I mean, how else would you have known it was from him or proved it?
That's
especially
what's crazy
if he has a
arson.
History of this and they were able to track him back and then see that he had the history. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't know. I don't understand what drives you to want to do this because it's just stupid, man.
Some kind of anger deep within him probably.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, why choose fire? It's so weird. Arsonists are very strange, I think.
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting concept.
It really is. So we got, he's facing 13 felony counts of arson, and he could spend at least 22 years behind bars for this like incident.
Dude, honestly deserved for the amount of damage.
Yeah, and like so many resources had to be pulled out there to in order to save this forest and
it could have been way worse, you know.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So this next story will have you thinking about your tea brewing.
Yes.
A bit
sad. I love tea, you guys. This is not good news. I've never had to think about this before, but apparently a lot of tea bags have plastic in them. And a new study has found that a single plastic tea bag steeped at a brewing temperature of 95 degrees Celsius releases around 11.6 billion microplastics and 3.1 billion nanoplastics into a single cup. Think about that for a moment. So this is back to the, you know, question about microplastics being in our bodies and what does this do to us?
Right.
Do we really know? We don't know.
No, we don't. And we get microplastics from everything. Like if right. you eat
it's
seafood,
in the air.
You're
it's literally in the air now.
Yeah. It's in the water. Tap water especially mm-hmm. has lots of, that's what's crazy about is we're already ingesting so much of it. And the argument is that nothing's happening. So we must be good, right? Like,
but at the same time, like tea is such a natural thing to me that it's really going to bother me forever thinking I have microplastic in my tea. Like I'm going to have, I will definitely find brands that don't use microplastic now.
Yeah. And I mean, there's, and that's the thing too, is like, there is a lot of brands that use only,
right.
you know, paper bags and things like that.
But you can't plastic. Really tell a lot of them that right. look like they're just paper. I think actually do have plastic in them. Some of them are reinforced with this microplastic.
Or plant plastic too is another one. So, I mean, it's all debatable. It's like plant plastic. Is that mm-hmm. really that bad for us? Like going through?
It says that
in small amounts.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The ones that are like have pressed edges, you know, they're like the little design yeah, almost yeah. on the edge. Those ones have it. Then the silky ones, you know, the fancy tea bags, those are not good. Those are made of plastic, not silk. Well, imagine that.
Fossil fuel-based plastic.
What? Oh. Oh my gosh, that's scary.
Or plant-based.
Yeah, no, it's really bad though. Like it's
definitely something
as far I'm gonna
have to look
if for. You're worried about microplastics and ingesting all that. Because yeah, that's the thing that's is a like lot. A lot of experts will be like, "There's nothing to worry about. This is just like." We process a lot of other shit, so this is just part of it.
But this is also like being heated to a really high temperature.
Right.
So.
Could it be releasing something that could be...
I'm definitely going to look now when I buy tea. And I'm going to go look at all the brands of tea that I have and see what the hell's going
on in those
bags.
But you got to think about this though for a sec. Like this is a cup of tea versus a big seafood dinner or something like that. Or right, somewhere yeah. else... that you could pick up those. I mean,
yeah.
you're ingesting them everywhere. Literally, if you interact yep. with plastic, you're ingesting them in some way, shape, or form. So you have to literally stop using plastic if you don't want to ingest microplastics and stop drinking tap water and eating lots of things.
Wow.
Honestly, I don't think there's any way to escape it, it seems like.
Plastic is such a huge part of our lives. It's insane. Something that wasn't a big part of people's lives yeah, not too long ago.
Even if you buy like fresh, organic, wild-caught fish, they're like, eating plastic
yeah,
in
exactly.
the sea
yeah.
and then right. we kill them, take them, cook them.
Yeah.
So the
and
amount though,
the and you're getting them in there.
From that is way more than like tea. So you could argue like, well, the tea's not that bad compared to people that eat seafood or something like that. Like they're yeah. probably
well, maybe, but it also says that the brewing temperatures is what makes them release
right.
into the tea.
True.
So I don't know.
So that is a factor for sure.
It's interesting, but I
well, it's
like
up for debate right now. It's like, what do you
of?
Think?
Yeah.
Do you think that we should be worried about all these plastics? I personally think we do because I just find it baffling that we found literally like some food wrappers at the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah.
We're talking miles. We're talking another world mm-hmm. and in space and everywhere else.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
The plastic problem's honestly so mind blowing and so scary. And we have to do something about it. We absolutely have to.
Yep. No, that's point blank.
Terrifying.
Like that's it.
Like it's everywhere.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. I can't imagine it's good
hemp,
for us
man.
To ingest.
We need
this.
Hemp. Support yeah. hemp. Buy hemp products.
Yes,
dead serious.
Totally.
Like hemp can do all these things that we mm-hmm. need. The plastic does right now.
Yep,
eliminate
it's strong.
It.
It can reinforce things.
Pretty much all of it
like
could
a
be
tea
eliminated.
Bag.
So the, and,
yeah,
and I think we're gonna go there
hemp,
though. I
bags.
Think a lot of places are gonna
yeah.
start banning plastic and
Let's
stuff.
Let's hope
and,
so.
Because it should and straws and all that like.
Yeah.
We got to figure out another way.
Well, even just Starbucks doing that was such a big deal.
Yeah.
I think trying to get rid of their straws, that was like such a huge
yeah, totally.
Thing for the movement. But anyway, let's talk about this next one.
So I'm sure all of you have been hearing about this vaping situation. And you know, I'm not particularly talking about that with this story, but it's related to the whole vaping illness and people dying from, you know, some
Using
type
vapes.
Of vaping device, whether it's, you know, nicotine or THC or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fully know exactly which one, but yeah, like 13 people now have died recently. And that's what's so weird. And I brought up this point or thought about this point earlier, like why all of a sudden are we seeing this, you know, out of
yeah.
nowhere, it seemed like all of a sudden people are dying and there's all these people being affected and having this problem. And
yeah. Why all of a sudden, why wasn't this happening years ago?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's really true.
Cause
know.
The vaping's been around for a while. Like Juul's been around for a bit and you know, Everybody's been using these things for a while, but then all of a sudden just people went downhill. But what they discovered is that a lot of the people, a huge part actually, were using these dank cartridges.
Dank?
It's a box that says dank on it. So you think that's the brand, but it's a completely bootlegged black market THC cartridge.
Huh.
So you're having people like this guy, Tyler Huffhines, who was literally running an illegal vaping business where he was buying a shitload of oil, probably from a legal state.
Yeah.
Because he's in Wisconsin, having that oil, and then you can buy those cartridges from like China and shit and just fill them with his homemade THC concentrate. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then he would sell them for like $25.
Dude, I can't imagine how many fillers are in that.
Yeah, many. That's
we're
so
talking
hot dog water.
Yeah.
Seriously. Honestly, though.
But the thing is that there's these, because you can look up how to make like a type of thing like this.
Right. And put them together.
Right, exactly. So you probably just started using like cheap fillers. And now we know that vitamin E acetate or whatever is not good for the lungs. And, you know, we're finding other things out too. And man,
it's really crazy how many people have just died so suddenly from it too.
Yeah. And
because it does make you wonder. So is it just because people like him are just now starting to do this stuff?
Well, it's crazy. Like there's an app now you can buy all this stuff. You can buy oil on there, Doja, or I think is what it's called or something. I heard that you can, you know, buy different types of illegal and illegal goods on there. It's kind of a black market type of situation. So people as young as 20 years old, he's making bank too. Mm-hmm. He had 10 people working for him. He had thousands of cartridges. He was like pumping out. He was like Walter White of like the vape cartridges.
Oh my God.
Seriously. Like he was pumping them out.
Damn.
3,000 to 5,000, I think, per year for like 2 years.
Wow. That's a lot. It's a lot of people.
Oh no, affected. No. Sorry. Let me fix that statement here. He actually filled about 3,000 to 5,000 a day.
That's crazy.
The volume, he was literally supplying like the whole Eastern United States with
so many people.
And that's why we started seeing, because these dank, they traced the dank back, I believe, and it showed up in New York and it started popping up in different places and was being connected to some of these people. Not all, but
Were any of those vaping deaths here in Colorado where it's legal? Like, I'd imagine that it would be mostly in places where
East
people
Coast.
Have to buy on the black market.
Right. It wasn't legal states, no. Because Wisconsin's not a legal state. Mm-hmm. Most of the New England area is not legal. I mean, there's a few, but...
So legalizing would solve this.
Because people in New York were found with the dank, like, it was getting there.
Wow.
Or it'd be candy. Like, and think about the kids, though. Mm-hmm. The kids that are buying this because they're like, ooh, I want to try the Sour Patch Kids THC vape.
And because it's not legalized, they can't, they can't be ID'd and actually checked in a dispensary. So kids are literally buying it off the street.
I mean, it's just like any other drug. It's
didn't
just
they like model it
homemade,
as
cooking
Sour
it
Patch Kids too.
Yeah, Sour Patch Kids. I don't know what I said, but yeah. What's crazy though is this guy literally had a really serious operation going on. He had like workers that would have time cards and shit, and he would pay them 30 cents per cartridge they filled.
No way. That's like
so
nothing. Well, I guess if you're doing 3,000 to 5,000 a day, maybe that is something.
Yeah, 10 people working. So if you do the math, I mean, that's still a ton of cartridges to fill per day.
Wow. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
But he had a full blown business
operation. Yep.
Because he was found with 300 grand worth of THC oil.
That's unbelievable.
In his condo. And he just lived in like some normal, like, nice little like condominium neighborhood, and they busted this guy, and he had like the pictures. He has just like this pile of cartridges on his.
I wonder if he was using his own shitty cartridges.
Yeah, that's what I know. He was probably getting some top shelf dispensary shit.
Probably like something better for himself. Wow.
So yeah, that's been one of the things they've connected. They still don't know that they haven't ruled out like nicotine yet or Juuls yet, but it seems like it's mostly having to do with these black market THC. cartridges, which is
that's really
crazy.
Interesting. And then just like I said, another reason we really need to legalize nationwide.
Yeah. And well, people turn to the black market. I mean, and
exactly
to,
and they always will,
you know, at least if it has some oversight to it, we can make sure it's fucking safe. You know, it's not laced with something,
right?
At least, you know, you're getting some good quality shit, you know?
Yeah, like, totally. It's really convenient to at least feel safe about.
Yeah,
what
and at
we
least
have.
If, and also if you're going to pay taxes, like at least let those taxes help the like community and stuff. Like,
totally.
marijuana tax does. So
makes a huge difference. It's made a huge difference in Colorado.
Yeah.
Everyone else will get on board, I think.
Because I mean, yeah, and I mean, I think people just still need to get their heads around the fact that marijuana is a literal medicine. Like, we're not talking just like some like party drug. Like, this is,
yeah, it's serious for a lot of people.
Literally saving people's lives and healing people every day.
Totally.
And it should be treated as such. And I have a problem with people that do this kind of shit just to make some money and ball out, you know.
Profit off of it and then don't care at all.
Especially when you're not making it fucking safe for people and you're going out to kids. Yeah. There were $22 a cartridge. So you give you a fat cartridge for $22, sell you a battery that's probably some China bullshit, and the kids would light it up and ingest all this this crazy shit. Like,
$22, that's really cheap.
Yeah, that's really cheap.
And
well, I guess depending on how much it is, but how much product, but that's so cheap. So what do you think is in there?
It's poison. They literally put poison in there. Yep. It's crazy.
Cyanide.
It's crazy. It's cyanide. Like, no, it's literally a form of cyanide. It's crazy.
It is actually.
It's wild though.
Wait, actually,
that's why kids, their lungs are cyanide, getting poisoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
Literally killing them. Oh my
God. And so it's like microdosing cyanide basically.
Yep.
Oh, that's great.
Oh yeah.
For $22. And then deceiving you and thinking it's like some like cotton candy, fruity tooty, you know, vapor pen. Like,
which, like, that's, I do understand that whole argument with the flavors and why that could be an issue.
Yeah. It makes more sense to me now too.
Cause it's like an additive. So you don't, you know, it's just another thing to be in there that's not pure.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it.
Yeah. So definitely watch out for those dank vapes if you see them.
Yeah.
Throw them out. Don't smoke.
They have
them.
Like a diamond on them.
I mean, they're pretty obvious though, if you think about it.
Well, I'm sure it's like pretty shut down now, right?
No, there's way more. I guess they're probably on the market out there.
Yeah, that's true.
This is just one kid.
And
this
people
is...
will still buy them. They're probably going to be like discounted now.
But who's going to want to buy that shit? Like, I guess if it's cheap and available, you'll fucking buy it.
Yeah, dude. Kids don't care. They're like, whatever. Everything's bad for
22
you.
Bucks, man.
Yeah.
It's for some diluted ass poison. THC oil.
That's scary.
I think it'll actually be interesting, though, to see where all of the results and findings come out when they are, you know, done researching this and figure out exactly what it was that is causing this. Like, because they're pointing to different additives and things like that, but I'm interested to see if there's something else like going on. That's because the CDC is literally recommending, like, don't vape at all, anything.
Well, that's extreme.
Right. No, that's what I'm saying is, like,
you know, just be smart about what you're vaping.
Right. Make sure you trust the source and the source is reputable. And it says lab tested. A lot of times they'll tell you it's lab tested and things like that. Because then you can at least make sure there's nothing crazy in there that shouldn't be there.
Right.
And the quality's good. So, yeah, crazy story though.
It really is. So before we get into the Salem witch trials, we'd like to thank our first sponsors for today. So today I'm going to be telling you about Ritual, which is an awesome multivitamin for women that has been completely reimagined and is different from anything else on the market. One thing that I love about Ritual specifically is that it's traceable and transparent. They are vegan-friendly, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free. They use allergen-free ingredients, and all of their sources are out there for the world to see, so you understand exactly what is in your vitamin. Better health doesn't happen overnight, and right now, Ritual's offering my listeners 10% off during their first 3 months. Fill in the gaps of your diet with Essential for Women, a small step that helps support a healthy foundation for your body. Just visit ritual.com/mile to start your Ritual today. That is 10% off during your first 3 months at ritual.com/mile.
Did you know that socks are the number one most requested clothing item in homeless shelters? Well, Bombas is on a mission to change that. They created the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. And for every pair of socks purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. Designed with special comfort innovations, colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, Bombas are perfect for the whole family. Get your hands on a pair of Bombas socks and your feet will thank you. What I love about these guys is that they have actually donated in total over 20 million pairs of socks and counting. They use super soft natural cotton and every pair is designed with arch support, which you don't always see in socks, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed that's supportive but not too thick. I got me some Bombas socks and these things are awesome actually. I really enjoy wearing them. They give you great arch support as well as heel support. Like, I hate when my heels start slipping and start scraping, so it's got protection for that. These socks are really, really comfortable, really soft. Definitely recommend them. Plus, you help somebody in need. So why would you buy your socks anywhere else? And today you can save 20% on your first purchase when you shop at bombas.com/milehigher. That's bombas.com/milehigher to save 20%. Bombas.com/milehigher. Check it out today.
All right, guys. So let's start talking about the Salem witch trials. So this was a crazy time in history. We thought it was really important to talk about it just because I think pretty much all of us would be considered like witches nowadays. So
yeah.
And to understand this whole thing, you have to understand that back then, a witch was not considered to be what we consider a witch to be today. You know, we have a very Hollywood, Halloween-y version of a witch.
Right.
You know,
right,
a cauldron.
Yeah. Everybody's like doing spells and, you know, cooking in a cauldron, like you said.
Big nose.
Yeah.
A broom, flies on a broom, right. Literally. But a witch could be considered someone who was pagan or Wiccan.
Right.
And so we kind of wanted to talk about how religion plays such a huge part in the Salem witch trials. And we thought we'd kind of explain what paganism actually is, because a lot of people totally don't understand it, and they hear the word pagan and think it's some like bizarre voodoo witchcraft scary thing.
What I thought growing up, like, I mean,
right,
I grew
that's
up
what you're told it's like Christian sacrilegious, right?
Totally.
Is that the word?
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of times people automatically take the term witchcraft and associate it with evil or devil worship or somebody that is doing like some dark shit.
Mm-hmm. Dark magic.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Dark magic with it.
Dark
spells, putting
sure
hexes and curses on people, which mm-hmm is definitely
people do that for
definitely
sure
happening. But
yeah, and sorry, hang on, guys. If you can hear our dog, I just have to say we have a brand new puppy. He's like 10 weeks old and he's sitting right next to me. And if you can hear him in the microphone at all, we apologize. But
yeah.
We can't get him to be quiet. He's a puppy. You can only tell him to stop so many times before he's just like, no.
Yeah, definitely. He's got a mind of his own, man.
He definitely does. He's a great Pyrenees. They definitely can have a little bit of an attitude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Stop, buddy. It's okay.
So the word pagan actually comes from the Latin word paganus, which basically refers to a country dweller, someone who lives outside of the city, which at the time Rome was like the principal city of this Roman Empire. And those who lived outside of its borders were considered to be pagans. And then after Rome adopted Christianity as its official religion, the word pagan began to change its meaning. Basically, those people who continue to worship the old gods and goddesses rather than converting to Christianity were referred to as pagans and were considered to be morally inferior and ultimately in need of saving by the Christian church, which is exactly how I've understood it too.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's really not what
basically it like Christianity means. Came in here and took over in a sense. Like, I hate saying it like that, but that's really kind of what they did back at that time in history, is they really tried to spread it throughout the globe. Cause that's part of the Christian mission, is to
spread it. Yeah.
Spread the good word of God. Right. So, you know, these guys that were pagans got automatically put into this bucket of, you know, they need to be saved by God. And then it just kind of deteriorated from there, it seems like.
And it could have been anything back then. Anyone who believed in any type of, basically things that we talk about on this show all
right
the time. Astrology, even using essential oils back then mm-hmm was considered to be like witchy. Mm-hmm.
Wicca is definitely an earth-centered religion, meaning the point of it is to be one with the earth, mm-hmm, to really
believe
in the powers of nature and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really is. It's not,
and not even just the earth, but the universe as a whole and how it all works together,
right?
The solar system as well, the moon. It's very
astrology
centered on the seasons, the planet, the moon and the sun.
Yeah,
and astrology is a huge part of that as well.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of like the knowledge and practices and information really comes mm-hmm back from like ancient roots,
right?
The people that were closest to how this all began, right? Like
mm-hmm
they had Sumerians to know something, you know. These mm-hmm ancient civilizations, Egypt,
Egyptians, Greeks,
totally.
But yeah, they were really trying to fit people into a bubble and make people one religion.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
that was like such a big thing back then. Freedom of religions was not a thing like it is as we know it today.
No, you believed know? Like whatever your
people
leaders
were so
believed
forceful on it, and it was such a controversial topic. There were a lot of people that wanted to just worship gods and goddesses, you know, have multiple gods.
Yeah, totally.
And that is definitely a no
in
the church.
Yeah, no, it's a huge no.
Yeah, so anyone who is not on board with becoming a Christian, pretty much, was considered a pagan.
Right. And against God. Uh-huh. And ultimately, I think most people thought they were like, with obviously doing some crazy shit and worshiping Satan and whatever else are evil, you know, is what I'm trying to say.
Totally. One thing that we hear a ton in this day and age is the term witch hunt. I mean, we hear it like on the news all the time, right?
Yeah.
Well, witch hunts have been going on for literally ever, and they have had witch trials other times, not just in Salem at that specific time, which I don't think a lot of people know that. They think there were one witch trial.
Yeah, it was
trials.
Just like the Salem witch trial.
Right. And in reality, they happened all across the world for a long time and still happen to this day, actually.
Yeah.
They started to fade out in Europe in the mid-17th century, but they started to actually get worse in the on the kind of fringe edges of Europe and the American colonies.
Right. Yeah, because America was just getting themselves started. That would make sense. So, yeah,
and then, you know, New England had just been settled by religious refugees looking to build this pure Bible-based society. Yeah. And
free of the king and control in Europe. So they came here and they're like, we're going to do this.
Exactly.
And yeah, and if anybody's opposed to it, essentially, you're going to be in trouble. Like, you're going to be against us, essentially, is what they established.
You better hide it if you're opposed to it.
Even though these people had been already doing this and believing this far before, you know, these guys came along even.
Exactly.
I mean, it's the same thing with like the Native Americans too, if you think about it. That's exactly what we did to them.
Totally. Said you need to conform to us or we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
There's so many times in history when that's happened. It's honestly so mind-blowing.
Man, imagine.
Like, conformity is so not important in society. And we value that too much, you know, conforming to each other and fitting in.
Well, it's control. It all comes back to control. Something or somebody's trying to control a group of people. That's why that happens. And it's clearly what's happening with us. But one of the interesting sort of statistics and background on the witch hunts just in general, if you look at all the different witch hunts over history, is that an overwhelming majority of people accused of or convicted of witchcraft were actually women.
Yeah, which I mean, like 78%. Most people think that it's actually like 100%. Most people are shocked to hear that men were actually killed in witch trials as well.
And it's interesting.
Or that men can be considered a witch.
Right. That's the whole thing is like a lot of people automatically associate witch with a female, and that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Even though.
Because I guess technically the male form of witch is wizard, right?
So the wizard trials. Or like, I guess it's kind of. Warlock is the other one, but that's kind of a darker term to say warlock. It's not necessarily like equivalent to witch necessarily.
Did they ever say warlock in Harry Potter?
Ooh, got me on the spot with the Harry Potter trivia.
I know I hit you with another warlock. Harry Potter trivia like 2 weeks ago.
I don't believe so. I don't think there's warlock in Harry Potter.
Janelle's like, should I try to research that and find out?
No, because it's wizards. It's wizards. I don't remember hearing warlock in Harry Potter, but I could be wrong.
Maybe that's because they're trying to keep it like G, you know?
Mm-hmm. You also have to think about New England culture at this time was men looked at women much differently than they do now, clearly.
Oh, definitely.
Like women were seen as weak and unprotected.
Just not respected in any way, shape, or form.
Basically.
But, you know.
Basically.
Totally seen as objects and not able to think for ourselves.
So if you weren't like a part of the group, the Puritans or their religion, then you were already at a very, you know, disadvantaged position. So, so what are the events that led to the Salem witch trials? So the witchcraft hysteria in Salem Village first began in January of 1692.
So long ago.
Yes.
That's really weird to think about how different it probably was back then. I mean, even 100 years ago, it was a different world. So imagine a couple hundred years ago, how insanely different it was.
Yeah.
Just everyday things, like going to the bathroom was a completely different thing for these people.
Yeah, totally new experience, new world, man. I know that it's times like these where when I'm learning about this stuff, I'm like, I wish I could just like time travel back.
I know.
And have like a look at it and just see what it's like and
be
experience
a fly
it.
On the wall.
Yeah, wouldn't that be so cool?
I know. It really would.
If there's any ability I think that I'd want, it'd be
to time travel.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be possible.
Yeah, I hope
Who
it
knows?
Is. I really hope it is. I hope with all these black holes running around everywhere, it seems like we can just hop into one and end up somewhere else.
Well, you don't want to go back here because your ass would be murdered. Trust me.
Yeah.
You would be one of the first to go.
They would
I would definitely
witch.
Be the first to go. They'd be like, hang that bitch.
You wizard, man.
They seriously would. They were crazy back then. Mm-hmm. Like, they had no sympathy for people that they thought could have any type of connection to the devil, really.
Right.
That's what they think that this was.
Yeah, or like being possessed by it and...
Or possessing others. That's what they were really worried about.
Yeah.
Were these witches casting spells on everybody, on someone else, and possessing them, because you're basically, as a witch, would be like a tool of the devil to do the devil's work, to kill people, to mess up society. That's how they saw these people.
Right.
Versus actual just healers and nature worshipers.
Oh, I know. It's such like polar opposite of what they actually were probably doing.
It was even like alternative medicine was a major no to these Puritan people. Like, they thought, you know, making up little brews in your house and doing your own type of natural healing was very...
Well, why would you do that when you have God, you know? Like, when you can just pray to God that he'll heal you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they thought.
Well, they don't like people who can claim to heal.
Right. No, well, it's threatening. It's, you know, encroaches on their beliefs. And obviously, it probably made everybody feel... That's what I wonder, too. I'm like, how blind were these people? Like, did they have the same kind of intelligence that we do now, or...
I don't know.
With this kind of stuff, or was more brainwashed back then?
Like, I wonder that too, because like sometimes
I never know.
It does seem like people weren't as intelligent, but we also have so many more tools and like access to basic education. Like a lot of these people weren't educated, and I mean, we have the internet though. That's like a whole other thing. It makes
us
kind of a lot smarter.
But, no, absolutely. But I'm just saying, on a very basic sense, like the way that we all remember history and the people at these times is like they're just all kind of like blindly following the leader around.
Well, I mean, we do get told a pretty washed version of it. I'm sure if you were there back then, you'd understand it differently. You know,
it's a real bummer. We don't have like more history and life. If there was some way for them to record.
Imagine if you could send a drone back in time, even like maybe yourself go back, but you could just send a camera back and like check shit out.
Oh,
or VR. Like transport yourself VR.
That'd be cool if they could do that.
Yeah, even if they can just like mimic it and make you think that.
That's a great point. Yeah,
you know,
that'd be sweet.
It'd be cool to go back in time and just imagine how difficult these people's everyday lives were. Like showering was like maybe once a week. You get in a metal bucket, and it's really crazy how different their lives were.
Like there's a little outhouse
and no protection. I mean, to think like, oh, something, this could happen just to you, be accused of being a witch and be murdered, you know,
and everybody's judging you. I mean, it was a judgmental society.
Edge.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, everybody's watching each other, 'cause then they would tell on each other.
No anxiety medication back then, folks.
No, definitely not. As far as we know, they weren't
taking... They probably used something for anxiety and to calm down, I'm sure.
Do you ever think like maybe they were smoking weed or something back then? Like,
oh, I'm sure they were.
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw some medication the other day, or like some facial cleanser from like early 1900s, and it had cannabis in it, like a lot of a huge high concentration, and then like chloroform in it as well. Just like this strange concoction. I think they were using cannabis more freely back then, and it was seen as more of a medicinal thing.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, it's just hard for me to believe that they never came across marijuana fields. No, or
I mean, the big shutdown was in like 1930 around the world, pretty much around there.
So I don't know. It's just like, hopefully they had ways to cope with this shit, because I can't imagine completely going through this. Well, if
you were smoking the weed back then, the devil's lettuce, you were done. You were definitely a witch.
That's true. Oh, yeah. That's probably true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're doing any sort of, you know, any type of
nature
ritual, right?
You're not a Puritan.
It's not prayer, man.
Yeah. So,
during this time in Salem Village, if you were young girls, which is really what this whole event is about,
is
these young girls that they called the afflicted girls. And they all of a sudden, after apparently the rumor they were playing a fortune telling game, basically fell ill and started acting just wild. Like,
dude. And I think the fortune telling game thing is like a major rumor.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's documented well at all.
Well, none of this is really documented that well. A lot of it's interpretation of like just like random documents and stuff. I mean, we know the general gist of the story, but
I mean, I think it sounds like more like a movie if they were playing some type of fortune game, maybe, you know, a Ouija board It sounds very Hollywood that they're playing this and then all of a sudden start having symptoms. Pretty sure they just start like randomly having symptoms, but.
Right. Exactly. And again, there's biased tellings of the story. Like, I have no idea. Like, one version is different from the other.
And it could be true. I mean, maybe they really were.
Mm-hmm. So the afflicted girls, as they were known as, were Elizabeth Booth, Elizabeth Hubbard, Mercy Lewis, Betty Paris, Ann Putnam Jr., Susanna Sheldon, Abigail Williams, Mary Walcott, Mary Warren.
Mm-hmm.
What a repeat of names, man. Elizabeth, oh, yeah. Elizabeth, like everybody's
Elizabeth,
named,
Elizabeth,
like,
Betty, Ann, Abigail, Mary, Mary.
Mary, Mary, especially Mary.
Yeah.
But the first of these girls to actually start experiencing symptoms was Betty Paris, who was actually 9 years old at the time, followed by Abigail Williams, who was 11. They were also the daughter and niece of Reverend Samuel Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally after they got sick or fell ill, Ann Putnam Jr., Mary, and Mercy Lewis also started just doing these wild fits. Literally, the girls would scream. Mm-hmm. They'd throw things around the room. They'd like utter strange sounds. And the way that this is described differently by everyone that tells the story. Okay.
Right. The extent That's the of thing. Like how like, serious it was.
Because the way that this sounds to me when I read this description is like, this sounds like demonic. Like they're trying to make it seem like, because throwing shit around, screaming like out of control.
But that also like low key sounds like me as a teenager. So, I mean, they could have just been having hormones.
Maybe just pissed off.
Yeah.
But the way that they've described it to us is that it was unnatural.
Yeah.
And eyewitness accounts say that it was unnatural, that it was not epileptic seizures or anything like that. This was
How the fuck would they know what an epileptic seizure looked like back then? Of course, they didn't think it was a seizure. They didn't know what that was. It could have definitely been seizures.
Yeah, it could have been. But throwing things and like.
Yeah, that's true.
Making weird sounds.
That just sounds like a teenage fit. I threw things.
Could have been. I mean, these are young girls too. So when you think about that, you're like, you know, why would they be doing all of that? Like, what could cause that?
I mean, they could have had something mentally going on, like bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
You know.
But this description makes me literally think they're like just wriggling on the floor, which is that's what they're saying. They're like convulsing on the floor and stuff. Doing weird noises and whatnot. So it does kind of sound like potentially a seizure.
Well, it seems like it kind of varied per girl too. Like how the extent of their behavior.
So shortly after they, you know, started having those fits, more girls started doing the same thing. Elizabeth Hubbard, Susanna Sheldon, Mary Warren, and Elizabeth Booth all started doing the same types of things, same symptoms, hiding under furniture, which is odd. But it's also like fever paranoia. And stuff. Yeah. It seems like almost like hallucinating almost. I don't know. It seems really wild and extreme.
And then in February, Samuel Paris called for a doctor who's believed to be Dr. William Griggs. And he was brought in to examine the girls, but he was unable to find anything physically wrong with them. So he just suggested that maybe they're bewitched.
Well, he was probably a Puritan
Imagine
doctor.
Imagine your doctor like, saying that.
Yeah.
They're bewitched.
Yeah, he was like, they may
this
not.
This is the devil's work here.
It's not just mental illness.
Sorry,
or,
Bob. Your daughter's.
This is
bewitched.
A work for Jesus.
Exactly. That's exactly what they were saying back then. That's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to heal them that way.
So after the two girls were examined, the two girls named the women they believed were bewitching them. And these women were Sarah Good, Sarah Osborne, and a South American Indian slave named Tituba, who worked for Reverend Samuel Paris.
Mm-hmm.
The Reverend had a slave. That's weird.
And there's a lot of like controversy over exactly how this went down. Did the girls just flat out instantly accuse them, or were they kind of pressured? Like, who did this? Are you possessed? And who possessed you? And like, did they just go along with a story that was kind of being fed to them?
Yeah.
Or were they right away saying, "I was possessed by so and so"?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think. When you understand like who these girls are that are, you know, they're saying bewitch them, it's very easy to see why they would do that and why they would, you know, maybe pin it on these girls that they were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Good was actually a homeless beggar known to seek food and shelter from neighbors. And she was accused of witchcraft just based upon that, essentially, which is like,
that's insane.
If you're a lower, you know, status in society, you're pretty much
in some cases.
Yeah. In this case, though, in this town at this time,
mm-hmm.
that's how extreme it was.
Well, I think it was like a good throwaway person too, you know? Like,
yeah.
This person doesn't matter. She's homeless right. and a beggar. So I can just blame her, mm-hmm. you know, some spoiled kid.
Yeah. And with the other Sarah, she was accused of being a witch because she didn't go to church.
That's so ridiculous. Yeah. So
automatically they're thinking like, if you're against God, you must be evil or some type of devil worshiper. That's how extreme it was and how totally. Crazy the beliefs were. It's just like,
can you imagine not living with like the basic freedom to be able to just believe what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not the thing. Be afraid yeah. for your life.
Yeah. And we take it all for granted. Totally. I feel like too, like,
yeah, big time.
It was not always like this. You cannot believe whatever you want, especially voice your opinions publicly about it.
Tituba was probably the one that actually came across like a witch somewhat the most. She was accused of telling tales about sexual encounters with demons, which, I mean, people could have literally made this up about her. Or maybe she did. I mean, maybe homegirl got down with demons. Who knows? She also was known to be a possible fortune teller, which was a big no. That's like majorly taboo. Yep.
Painting herself as a psychic. Mm-hmm. And apparently she taught about voodoo before. So, I mean, it makes sense why they would think that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so was she really doing anything to her?
Yeah. Right. And would she? Very why convenient. Would she just randomly, you know, try to put some black magic spell on these little girls, a bunch of little girls in the town? It's just like, doesn't make sense.
No, it really doesn't.
Even if it could like work that way, you know?
No, so. It makes no sense whatsoever. It's just threatening. Mm-hmm. It's threatening to them and what they believe. And also because they think it's evils like fighting with their people and stuff.
Yep.
On March 1st, Tituba, Sarah Good, and Sarah Osborne were arrested and examined. So they do like an examination. And during Tituba's examination, she made a confession that she had been approached by Satan along with Sarah Good and Sarah Osborne, and they all agreed to do Satan's bidding as witches, which just, just seems so like, if this is true, then...
Yeah, I don't know if that's true.
just right off the bat, I'm like, that seems so like convenient. Like, why would she do that?
Why would she tell them that?
She knows what's going to happen. Like, she knows they're going to punish her if she's
especially
like, hey.
Back then.
So,
oh my gosh, yeah, you'd be like really stupid to tell someone that. That doesn't seem very true to me.
No, it doesn't. It seems like just too convenient of an explanation for them.
Of course, like they documented this however they wanted to. So we have such a warped version of this just because of what's been passed down.
That's very true. Yeah, so it was this confession that she gave, apparently, which triggered this mass hysteria in the hunt for witches in Salem. Literally, Tituba is their what they're saying is the prime reason. They started like going and looking at all these girls. Like
that same month, four more women were accused and arrested. That included Rebecca Nurse, Martha Corey, Dorothy Good, and Rachel Clinton. And although the afflicted girls were the main accusers during the trials, many historians believe the girls' parents, particularly Thomas Putnam and Reverend Samuel Parris, were egging the girls on and encouraging them to accuse specific people in the community that they didn't like as an act of revenge.
I'm telling you, there's other motives here.
Definitely.
Definitely. In play.
And I think they just kind of wanted, I mean, they could have just wanted attention too. But I think that their symptoms could have been really real. But did they use them conveniently? Was it from something else? And then they used that and like made up this whole big story because they were getting a lot of attention out of it. And
yeah, that's another way to look at it.
Throw
for sure.
These people under the bus when it was actually maybe caused by something natural.
Yeah, that's very true. Could have been they took advantage of it in a sense. Like, so then heading into April and May, over 20 people, both men and women, were accused.
That's a lot
so
of
not
people.
Only women being accused as witches, but men as well.
There are a few guys.
And then also in May, Governor William Phipps set up a special court known as the Court of Oyer and Terminer, which essentially translates to hear and determine, to look over these cases and examine them.
And so, decide if they were actual cases of witchcraft. Imagine that in a court of law, deciding whether or not someone is guilty of witchcraft.
Yeah.
How can you decide that?
Yeah.
I don't know. Insane. This was the most unfair thing to ever happen.
Well, they had some crazy tests too, that they would do that were going on for years and years before that too, with alleged witches and stuff. So,
wow.
But this court had 8 judges, and in June, Judge Nathaniel Saltonstall resigned and was replaced by Jonathan Corwin. And what's interesting about Jonathan Corwin is that his house is actually the only structure still standing today with direct ties to the witch trials.
Interesting. I wonder if it's still owned by his family.
Ooh, I don't know about that, but it's like a tourist attraction now. Like you can pay.
It looks creepy.
Pay to go into it and stuff. And
I would love to go see Salem. It always looks so fun. And they make it really spooky around October.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen people go just on Instagram and stuff.
Man, that's where the paranormal activity is at, is in.
Oh, yeah.
In places like Salem and.
Oh, just New England in general is so haunted.
There's so much history and craziness that happened.
Definitely.
So by this time, the number of people accused and arrested in May exploded to over 30 people. And this is when the witch hunt really started in Salem Village, but it quickly spread to all the neighboring towns as well. I think everybody, there was mass hysteria. They were panicked and like, we got to find all the witches in our neighborhoods and stuff too. Yep,
bring them out.
It became this massive thing. Like,
yeah.
And just
a witch hunt.
Yeah.
Literally a literal witch hunt.
That's like, where can the term you imagine if we did that today for something? We're like, all right, everybody's got to like look out for these specific individuals.
Yeah.
Because we need to, you know.
On a mass level.
Remove
yeah,
them.
That'd be like, wild. I can't imagine that.
But that's literally what they were doing.
The number of accusations and arrests began to actually decline in June, but still continued. And soon the local jails held more than 200 accused witches. That's so many.
Yeah. So they had to move them out to other towns, cities.
They had major overcrowding.
Boston.
Yep.
They were just rounding them up. Anybody that they thought was a witch. And these jails were not nice. They were small wood structures. They had like dungeons in them still. Like these are old, old places. Yeah. And they were considered dangerous prisoners. All the witches were. So they kept them in the dungeon and chained them to the walls because officials believe this would prevent their spirits from fleeing the jail, apparently, and tormenting their victims.
Yeah. They basically thought they would felt like contain we don't know it. What powers these people have. What if they try to like do something through the walls?
And,
yeah. They can get their asses out. They had to chain them up. And imagine how uncomfortable that is to be chained up for hours. Oh, I can't imagine. I get sore just being in the same sleeping position for too long. Imagine being chained like that.
Oh, I know. Thinking
days.
About like what people had to go through in these times is
just insane.
Beyond our realm of thought, I feel like.
It really is.
I couldn't possibly understand what that would feel like.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it was wild, man. Or being in a dungeon, like underground dungeons were
so dark and
scary,
depressing.
Man.
Yeah, especially if you're a pagan and you believe in this, in the universe,
and
the nature.
Yeah, and, earth and everything else. It's like...
Yeah, to be stuck in a jail cell like that is pretty horrible.
Well, that's probably why they thought. They're like, oh, let's put them in the opposite situation here. Let's cage them up. So before the actual trial started, they did all these examinations. And what they would do is the people that were accused as witches were questioned by a judge in front of a jury, which essentially decided whether or not to indict them on the charges of witchcraft. And if they were actually indicted, they were not allowed a lawyer.
That's so,
so if you,
insane.
Not only, you know, you're getting pinned for something that...
Totally screwed, but you can't even have any representation.
No help, no nothing. You're on your own.
Nothing.
They put you in a unwinnable situation, really.
And then they had these tests to literally test them, physical tests, to see if they were witches. And I talked about one of them in my video, but there's a few more that are super interesting.
It's wild.
One was a swimming test. Where the accused witches were literally dragged to the nearest body of water, stripped of their undergarments, bound, and then tossed in to see if they would sink or float.
Jesus, that's so brutal, man.
Yeah. So what if they sink and
they're
not a
witch? Aren't you?
So I guess, well, if you float, you're a witch, right? That's their idea. If you sink, you're innocent.
An innocent person would sink.
So then
but
what?
Witches float.
But then you murder them. So then they just drown an innocent person.
Yeah, that's what would happen a lot of the times.
Great testing there, guys.
Because they did this kind of stuff for a long time. Many years they did these types of tests. They would do a prayer test where witches who are incapable of speaking scripture aloud and also so accused sorcerers were made to recite selections from the Bible, usually the Lord's Prayer without making mistakes. They'd be like, all right, you want to prove your...
Yeah, show us your dedication to the Lord.
Right, recite some scripture. So while doing the prayer test too, like reading the scripture, if you fucked up at all, automatic, you're a devil worshiper. Like if you make any mistakes whatsoever, it was cutthroat.
Then you must not be serious about it.
Yeah. That's just like, it was brutal back then, man.
Yep.
The simplest mistake could cost you your life. The touch test worked on the idea that the victims of sorcery would have a special reaction to physical contact with their evil doer. In cases where a possessed person fell into spells or fits, the suspected witch would be brought into the room and asked to lay a hand on them. A non-reaction signaled innocence, but if the victim came out of their fit, it was seen as proof that the suspect had placed them under a spell.
It's ridiculous.
Like, what the hell kind of test is that?
I know, it's so bad.
Oh,
I
think based the worst, on how you though, react?
The worst is the witch cakes.
Yeah, which is a bizarre form of counter magic. The witch cake was a supernatural dessert used to identify suspected witches and evildoers. And in cases of mysterious illness or possession, witch hunters would take a sample of the victim's urine, mixed it with rye meal and ashes, and then baked it into a cake.
And notice they used rye meal.
Yeah.
In these cakes.
That's key.
Yeah, that's key.
It is. But then they would feed it to a dog or animal helpers, and the witches would hope that the beast would fall under its spell and reveal the name of the guilty sorcerer. And witch cakes actually relate back to the Salem witch trials, because the slave Tituba actually helped prepare a witch cake to identify the person responsible for bewitching the young girls, Betty Paris, and others. And the brew failed to work, and Tituba's supposed knowledge of spells and folk remedies was later used as evidence against her when she was accused of being a witch.
So she tried to help out by being like, oh, well, we can do this, but then they were like, going against her.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there was like witch's marks, which is pretty, you know, like if there's any weird marks on them or moles and things like that, mm-hmm. They would just examine you and be like, oh, devil's what is this? Mark. This is, yeah, a devil's mark. Exactly. Or if they felt like it changed shape or color. And they might also search for a witch's teat, an extra nipple allegedly used to suckle the witch's helper animals.
What? I wonder how many of the people that they accused of this actually had this witch's teat.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. I've never heard of that.
Like, where's that third nipple at? Like,
sounds like one person had that one time. They're like, oh, you know what this is? That's a witch's teat.
Mm-hmm. So literally like mole scars, birthmarks, all these imperfections that all of us have, mm-hmm. could just be taken as signs that you're working
even
with the
tattoos.
Devil.
Tattoos. I mean, tattoos were a big no back then.
That's oh, yeah. Tattoos back then were like automatic devil worship.
Some villagers would even burn or cut any offending marks off of their bodies.
Yeah, and people would find it. They'd like go along and during this time when they were doing these witch hunts, and they'd find like little moles in people's skin on the ground.
Shit, I don't. Ew, oh. That's so gross.
Or maybe they were smarter and put it somewhere, but
that's probably so not, absurd. Honestly. Oh my God.
Then they do these pricking and scratching tests. So if witch hunters struggled to find obvious evidence of witch's marks on a suspect's body, they might resort to the ghastly practice of pricking as a means of figuring it out. So these examiners who are examining these alleged witches would use specially designed needles to repeatedly stab and pick at the accused person's flesh until they discovered a spot that produced the desired results.
So ridiculous. Imagine not even having a choice in that.
Based upon they would use like your witch's knowledge against you, essentially. They'd be like, oh, I'm going to prick you until you admit or do whatever, you know, the witch book tells you to do.
Or you literally just make it up on the spot because
that's probably what it was.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people weren't actually involved with this.
And in England and Scotland, actually, the torture was eventually performed by well-paid professional pricklers.
Oh my gosh, imagine that. I'm a professional prickler.
And a lot of them were con men. They used dulled needle points to identify fake witches' marks.
Oh, that's so scary.
And then they could be scratched. So they would just do all these different tests and set you up, pretty much, is what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So the scratching test is that people that were possessed would scratch to the point where they would draw blood, and that's how they would... and then it would improve after they got done clawing it. They'd be like, that was evidence of,
because it would like
evil.
Heal on its own.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is like a natural thing. If you scratch and draw blood, it'll eventually stop. But they saw like the healing is like, oh, that person's healing themselves when it's like,
or maybe, you know, how you can just like make a red mark and then eventually it like turns white.
Yeah. But to draw blood, like they make you scratch. So there's blood on your arm.
Yeah.
But then like, they'd be like, oh, I don't know. So much of this, I'm like, this just sounds made up. Like,
some of it is probably made up. I'm sure that
sounds like some
made up
shit that was going on. But maybe it was crazy like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was. It was definitely crazy.
And then there was these incantations, also known as charging. This test involved forcing the accused witch to verbally order the devil to let the possessed victim come out of their fit or trance. Other people would also utter the words to act as control, and judges would then gauge whether the statements had any effect on the victim's condition. It's just like, what? It's just
so ridiculous. Like, it's all like fly by the seat of their pants, such like stupid rules. It sounds like a fifth grader made all this up, you know? And it then really it's does. Like affecting people's lives on such a huge scale.
Yeah, ending them.
It's shocking.
It literally really sending is. People to the grave for this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely insane. And one thing that's interesting to note, though, is like at that time when the witch hunt was going on in Salem, there was people that were against it and were like, this is exactly what we're thinking right now. Like, this is all just made up. Oh, this is an attempt by
this is a witch hunt.
This group, yeah, to do this stuff.
So. That's where the name came from.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I couldn't imagine being some of these, and young, too. They would, like, accuse you of being a witch at in your childhood. Could be, like,
21 even. Or
yeah, or younger. Young, too.
Yeah.
For anything. So if you're a woman, you just, you know, unless you were really living by, you know, the book and following what they preach.
You better be careful.
You were in trouble. Yeah, you were in serious danger.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and start talking about the trials because that's where things really get interesting. But before we do, we'd like to thank our last sponsors for today.
Are any of you out there struggling to sleep these days? You are not alone. 1 in 3 U.S. adults do not get enough sleep, and I often feel like I am one of them. If you're not sleeping enough, this can affect your cognitive functions during the day, like the learning and problem solving that you have to do on a daily basis. And that's why we're partnering with Calm, the number one app for sleep. Josh and I both have been using Calm before they even sponsored us, and we really love the app. It's so beautifully designed, and it just works really well. Sleep deficiency does serious damage, not just to your brain, but to your body as well. With Calm, you'll discover a whole library of programs designed to help you get the sleep that your body needs, like soundscapes and over 100 different sleep stories, which are awesome. If you fall asleep easily to calming voices, or if you're used to falling asleep to someone reading when you were a kid, that's what it reminds me of. If you want to seize the day, sleep the night with the help of Calm. Right now, Mile High listeners can get 25% off their Calm premium subscriptions at calm.com/milehigher. That's calm.com/milehigher. 40 million people have already downloaded the Calm app. Find out why at calm.com/milehigher.
So usually when we record podcasts, we actually record them a lot of times at night because currently we're using this green screen, and sometimes it can get late when we're done recording and we have still not eaten any dinner. So we will turn to our faithful friends, Postmates, to get us dinner. So if you've never heard of Postmates or never used Postmates, they are a food delivery, grocery delivery, literally deliver anything that you need type of service, and they are available everywhere. Postmates is also open 24 hours a day, 365 days a week, and it is super convenient. It's always there at your fingertips, and they can literally bring you anything that you need. Like, for example, the other night, I did not have any veggies for the rabbits. They have to eat veggies every day. So I Postmates to the grocery store. They brought me the veggies because I just ran out of time that day, and they were super huge help, as well as just every day for food, snacks, all that kind of good stuff. Postmates is a free app. You can download it today to see what local businesses and restaurants are in your area that Postmates delivers. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, just download the Postmates app and use code MILEHIGHER. That's code MILEHIGHER for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. If it's late, you don't want to go out, send a Postmate. They're more than happy to get you whatever you need. So check out Postmates today. So the Salem witch trials were held in the Salem courthouse, which was located in the center of Washington Street, about 100 feet south of Lindy Street, opposite of where the Masonic Temple now stands. Conspiracy.
Yeah, gotta love some masonry in there.
Yeah. It's always makes sure. I know. They're always in there, those Freemasons.
I know. How many episodes have we mentioned the Freemasons in?
We'll never do
it. We need to do a whole episode on it.
I know.
We'll never do it. No, we will, okay? Maybe we will, if this gets enough. I want 700,000 thumbs up, and then we'll do it.
That's a fair deal.
Small goal.
700,000 thumbs up. Let's do it.
That's it. All right, guys. Get going. Share this with your mom.
What's interesting, though, is the actual courthouse was torn down in 1760. Kind of random fact, but the plaque for this courthouse was actually put onto the Masonic Temple, which stands today. So there's this correlation between the Freemasons and this courthouse, which is interesting, which could just be because of history and the location, nothing in significant.
Well, I mean, but they were known for buildings. Yeah. So a lot of buildings are named after the Masons.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was
dedicated to them, I should right. say.
I just thought it was kind of interesting, though.
It is interesting.
Whenever you see, I mean, Freemasons are everywhere, especially in mm-hmm. that period of time in that part of the country. But actually, Bridget Bishop was the first person that stood trial. Bishop had been accused of witchcraft years before, but was cleared of the crime, actually. But she ended up being accused again by five of the afflicted girls, Abigail Williams, Ann Putnam Jr., Mercy Lewis, Mary Walcott, and Elizabeth Hubbard, who stated she had physically hurt them and tried to make them sign a pact with the devil. And during her trial, of course, poor Bridget Bishop defended herself, stating, "I am innocent. I know nothing of it. I've done no witchcraft. I am as innocent as a child unborn."
But they were like, "Oh, you know what? We'll take the kid's word for it."
Yeah.
Unreal.
And I mean, I don't think there's any for sure way for us to know whether or not she was a witch or not, right? Like,
or if she could have had any involvement with the cult or something. Yeah, yeah. I guess we don't really know.
We don't know. And people most like of these that people did weren't, exist. Though.
Yeah.
But it just seems so convenient, you know, for them to really, be doing this.
Yeah, that sounds a bit extreme. She made a sign a deal with the devil.
Yeah.
Pact with the devil.
Like, mm-hmm.
I don't know. It sounds so extreme. I think they were being pushed a lot, too, by the adults in the situation, the kids, to say things and, like, kind of, you know, coerced into saying.
Oh, totally. I think it was very coerced society.
They're guided.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think your level of freedom of thought was very minimal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I mean, it totally seems like they were egged into some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Bridget Bishop was convicted at the end of her trial and sentenced to death. She was hanged on June 10th, 1692 at a place now called Proctor's Ledge, mm-hmm. which is a small hill near Gallows Hills. And she was the first official victim of the witch trials.
Imagine being, hung for something that you didn't even do. Feeling so ridiculous
mm-hmm.
and feeling so out of control at the end of your life.
No fairness or justice.
Basically being murdered.
There. Yeah. Literally.
It's horrific. I can't even imagine what she would have been thinking in her last moments.
Mm-hmm.
How mad you would be. I'd be so angry.
And then shortly after Bridget Bishop, five more people were hanged in July, one of which was Rebecca Nurse. Rebecca Nurse's execution was honestly a pivotal moment in these trials.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the people that were accused as witches were, as we talked about, outcasts. But mm-hmm. Rebecca was a very well-respected and well-loved member of the community, kind of somebody that was...
Not just a throwaway,
no,
basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And when she was first arrested, many members of the community signed a petition asking for her release, actually. And, of course, she wasn't released, and most people were confident she would be found not guilty and released. They're like, okay, well... She's just such an upstanding person.
There's
that, like,
no
how
way.
Are they possibly going to find her guilty of witchcraft? Her initial verdict was, in fact, not guilty. But upon hearing the verdict, the afflicted girls began to have fits in the courtroom.
Oh, my gosh. So, what a bunch of bitches.
Yeah. So they were just like, that seems so obvious to me. Like, what the hell? They're totally trying to frame her.
To get her framed. Yeah. Yep.
And then, in fact, the judge actually asked the jury to reconsider the verdict. And a week later, the jury changed their minds and declared Nurse guilty. So
wow.
literally, he
Imagine
saw
if a
this
jury
unfold.
Could
he's like,
"Do that? That is so bad." If a judge could say to the jury, "I really hope you guys reconsider this. Actually, like, let's try."
Yeah.
Again.
Then what's the point of having a jury?
Yeah, that's so trash. It was just like anything goes back then. It was such a shit show.
It was. I mean, I don't even understand anything got done or.
No.
It was even.
Constant unfairness.
Yeah.
Definitely makes you feel, I mean, our society is not perfect. We have a lot to work on, but it definitely makes you feel like grateful to be alive in today's times.
Oh, yeah.
Where at least you know you'd have like a shot at a decently fair trial versus back then. I mean, good luck.
Yeah. And if you don't,
the judge is literally telling the jury to try again.
Like, yeah, that's not going to work.
Wrong answer, people. You go back and try again.
Yeah, and they're like, you saw these girls start tripping out over here because of her.
Yeah.
She's clearly guilty. And literally, they executed her. Yep. Rebecca Nurse was executed on July 19th. And I think this was pivotal because the residents of Salem started being like scratching their heads and being like, this is fucked up. Like,
yeah, especially what when they're someone doing. They really cared about.
This person, there's no way this person was evil or involved in any sort of.
How could this happen?
Witchcraft, demonic, you know, sorcery or whatnot. So, I mean, that was, that's just tragic. And then on July 23rd, John Proctor wrote to the clergy in Boston, and he knew the clergy did not fully approve of the witch hunts. Proctor told them about the torture inflicted on the accused and asked that the trials be moved to Boston, where he felt he would get a fair trial. And then the clergy later held a meeting on August 1st to discuss the trials, but were not able to help Proctor before his execution. Proctor's wife managed to escape execution because she was pregnant, but Proctor was hanged on August 19th, along with five other people.
Wow. What a scary, scary night. Imagine that. All those people hanging up there.
His wife's pregnant and just.
Yeah.
And hanging's just like, I hate the thought of it. It's very freaky.
It really scares me.
It's, yeah. I mean, it scares a lot of people.
Yeah.
And the thing, God, the fact that they had to go through this just blows my mind. Another notable person, though, that was also accused of witchcraft was Captain John Alden Jr., who is the son of the Mayflower crew member John Alden. It's interesting. He was actually accused of witchcraft by a child during a trip to Salem while he was on his way home to Boston from Canada. He spent 15 weeks in jail before friends helped him break out, and he was able to escape New York, and they later cleared him of the charges. And another crucial moment during the Salem witch trials was the public torture and death of Giles Corey.
Oh, this one really gets to me.
Corey was accused of witchcraft in April during his wife's examination, and knowing that if he was convicted, his large estate would be confiscated and would it be passed down to his children, Corey brought his trial to a halt by refusing to enter a plea. And at that time, English law dictated that anyone who refused to enter a plea could be tortured in an attempt to force a plea out of them. Can you imagine that now?
There was literally no protection, no freedom. There was no rights. You had no rights as a citizen. Nothing. You were nothing. That is unbelievable. You have no choice but to just go with what they're saying, basically.
Yeah. It's a total dictator.
And for them to take your estate if you were, you know, found guilty, or if you entered a plea, they would take his whole estate from his family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just devastating.
I mean, I wouldn't want to give it up either.
No, everything you've worked for and be murdered.
Just because they accused you of witchcraft.
Yeah. How insane.
And that's what's so crazy about this whole event is it was just a huge injustice to people's liberty and freedom, personal freedoms.
Yeah.
There's a total encroachment on that, like stepping over the bounds.
Definitely.
And the torture that this poor individual endured is just absolutely...
It's sick. It makes me
beyond
so
anything I could comprehend.
I remember learning about this in high school and just like cringing in my seat. Like it was just so rough to hear.
Yeah. And what they would do is they would put him on the ground, the prisoner on the ground, naked. And then they would place a board on top of him.
Or like a door.
Or a door. Yeah. A board, a door, wood, something heavy and hard on top of him, and then go and get heavy stones and load them gradually on top.
One by one until they just crush you enough. Isn't that the sickest thing you've ever heard?
Oh my God. That is like...
It was terrible. I mean, these people were like somewhat getting off from this, I feel like. There was a hunt in it.
Oh yeah. I know. The people...
Very mean spirit.
The people doing the witch hunt, crimes. Doing the torture.
You know? Right?
Funny how that works.
How insane.
It just shows you the true motives here, though. It shows you that they were out for control and for themselves, and not everybody, but the people that were leading this witch hunt were.
Yep.
It really seems that way. I have a hard time believing that there is a bunch of dark magic sorcerer, wizard, witches running around causing havoc and
possessing
people.
A lot of this was rumor and stuff. It was people getting hyped up over it.
So Corey, this guy got tortured this way for 3 days until he finally died on September 19th. And this, when people heard about this, or I don't even know, maybe people saw this too. I think people really started being like, all right, we got to stop this. This is horrible what they're doing to these people. Mm-hmm. And
because they would do it in public. How weird. Public executions.
Yeah.
Such a strange thing. Imagine if we still did that. like, okay, tonight we're putting this person to death. You're all welcome to come. I mean, I guess in a way we do, because like you can come to executions. Can anyone just come to an execution?
No.
You have to be invited into the room.
Yeah, it's usually like the immediate people associated with the individual.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. No, there isn't. I don't think there's any form of public execution really still today. I could be wrong though. But yeah, I mean, that's just a horrible way to go. And the local clergymen and other people that were seeing the injustice that was happening were starting to speak out and see how they could end this, because this is just so unfair. And one of these things that was very controversial was spectral evidence. And spectral evidence is when a victim testifies to experiencing an attack by a witch in spirit form, invisible to everyone else. So this was so a valid reason took that seriously for a while until they eventually were like, this cannot be used as evidence anymore. Like, what the hell are we doing?
This is not evidence.
Because this just could be complete
rumor.
Fake. Yeah. Fake bullshit. Like,
yep.
And spectral evidence can also be based on dreams and visions, which, I mean, we all have. That doesn't mean it's
so
based in any sort of reality.
Spectral evidence.
But it was actually one of the most common forms of evidence because it was so easy to accuse people.
Yeah. Basically hearsay, making a bunch of shit up.
Mm-hmm. And other evidence that was actually used in the trial included confessions of the accused, possession of certain items such as poppets, ointments, or books on the occult, as well as the presence of an alleged witch's teat, which was that third nipple we were talking about.
Yeah.
And then on September 22nd, 8 people were hanged. And these were the last hangings of the Salem witch trials. And that's like one of the common myths about the Salem witch trials is people were burned at the stake. There was nobody burned at the stake.
Well, not in Salem, but there have been witches burned before. Yeah. That's why I think people get confused. But yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah. I was confused about that. I thought Salem witch.
I'm pretty sure I've seen it like depicted in a movie as one of them being burned, though. It's probably incorrect.
Yeah. And there is like Hollywood film about the Salem witch trials. So
that's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Hollywood corrupting our minds.
Always, man.
So after the last people were hanged, literally after that, the governor decided to dismiss this court that was doing these trials, doing all these false accusings of people and executing people that likely shouldn't have been executed. And there was actually at that point in jail, there was 52 people still awaiting trial, and they agreed to give them a new trial in which spectral evidence was removed as a reason for accusing them of witchcraft.
All fair evidence.
Right.
Well, I mean, to an extent, I'm sure back then there was still a lot of bullshit, but
yeah. So a lot
more
of,
fair than the previous. Yeah.
So a lot of those people got released, which is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they started realizing like, oh, it's
a little too
bullshit.
Late.
Yeah. A little way too late. Cause a total of 19 accused witches were hanged near Proctor's Ledge during the witch trials. The others were either found guilty, but pardoned, found not guilty, or never indicted, or simply just invaded rest or escaped from jail. Even a lot of people escaped from jail. Other victims included two dogs who were shot or killed after being suspected of witchcraft. They actually killed two dogs because they thought they were possessed or...
Because they were giving them those witch cake things.
Yeah.
Which had rye in it, which we will talk about the theory with that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about some of the possibilities when it comes to the Salem witch trials. Is there an actual explanation for this that's, you know, somewhat reasonable?
Right.
Or is it really something where people were possessed or there was a lot of black magic in the air at this time? I feel like it can be explained by something a little more normal.
Yeah, I agree. One of the theories is that it was just mass hysteria, which is what we've been talking about pretty much this whole time, where there's this rapid amount of people who, you know, all of a sudden are distressed and it sort of spreads. And
that's something that we have, you know, today, even right now, there's kind of like mass hysteria about vaping.
Yeah.
You know, in a sense. So that's kind of just human nature. So that definitely could be it, or a contributing factor.
But it's
a mixture of a couple different things.
Yeah, I agree. Cause mass hysteria was definitely there. People were definitely freaking out and it was
Lots of rumors going off
into other towns even. And it was really affecting a lot of people at that time. So I definitely think mass hysteria, boredom, were they just bored? That's a theory actually, is that these girls were just bored, so they decided to act like that and do, you know,
because it was just so boring back then. I don't know, I feel like that's a little harder to believe, but an interesting idea. Maybe they were just bored
I mean, it was probably a boring time back then. What did you do for fun in 1692 as a kid?
I think they had this game where they had a stick and a, they had like a little wheel thing and they would like roll the, with the stick really fast and try to run with it. I swear that was like the big game back then.
That's so sad.
How long? They would roll this like wheel and then they'd take the stick and like try to keep it going.
What?
Yeah, that was like a major game back then.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, it was boring, dude. That and like some dolls, but it wasn't like manufactured dolls. They weren't Barbies with like multiple like outfits. Wood. It was like Polly your pockets. Grandma made you a doll.
Yeah.
So
this is doll, your old blanket crafted into a doll.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it could be boredom, but they read a lot back then. They did stuff outside.
And it seems too convenient that it's like demonic. Yeah. Like devil worshiping witches that are casting spells like and doing crazy shit like that.
Yeah, I know.
It really does. It seems like, what's a reason we can, you know, go after people?
And maybe another reason for it is that there was a strong belief in the occult at the time because the Puritans so strongly believed in the existence of witches and witchcraft.
Mm.
I think that's a huge factor to it as well. I mean, I think it's a mixture kind of all of this. They probably were bored.
Yeah.
You know, there was mass hysteria. And there's definitely a strong belief in the occult at the time.
Absolutely.
People were scared of it. Yeah. Not, there wasn't this understanding it and New Age Zen acceptance of it.
No.
You know?
No, not at all.
It was very dark to people. A lot of people were afraid of being possessed or having a spell casted on them.
Yeah. And again, most Christians just automatically associated it with being evil and not this earth-centered religion.
Just anti-religious.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't believe in God and all of that, so... Or maybe it was just disputes, rivalries, and just differences. Like they're just part of it too. Is
exactly
like they probably all had like personal motives for doing things and
it's
accusing
like
people.
Small town bullshit, pretty much back then. They all like knew each other.
Well, it gave you excuse to get rid of somebody you don't like,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, she's definitely a witch,
or just something exciting to happen in the town—a big exciting trial. Maybe these men just found it kind of fun and powerful to do this.
Oh god, that's sick.
I think it's kind of true.
Yeah, there could be definitely some feelings of that there for sure.
But then there's two theories that I think play a huge part in the Salem witch trials. I honestly wish we talked about them like right out the gate because I think it would have explained so much during this episode.
Well, yeah, it explains the whole thing at the beginning.
It really does. But the cold weather theory, back then they were having a specifically cold year they were known to have. It was like cold and wet. And their crops were like super shitty.
Not doing well.
Mm-mm. And they like the harvest was really low. So a lot of people weren't making a lot of money. There was a lot of people that think that maybe that.
The witches had something to do with it, right? Like they were, you know, hexing everybody's future and their crops and cursing them. And God, that's just crazy to think that they really like, if that's true, they really thought that like that was happening.
Oh, yeah.
They
people
just
really thought this.
They woke up, they're like, oh my God, casting a spell on my crops. They're dead.
Yeah, Somebody couldn't be the weather that explains it. The weather was different.
Couldn't
this
be
year.
Just because of the temperature. That's just hard to
believe.
It
could have been like El Nino a year. You know, it was like a really cold, wet year. And they weren't used to it. And that's what also caused this next point, which is the biggest point of all, and that is the ergot poisoning from the rye. And
the rye grains, because they can grow a fungus, right?
Yeah. It's like this little, you can even see it on the outside of
rye. It's like some mushrooms or something.
Yeah, and it's supposed to have a similar effect when ingested to LSD,
It's like psychedelic.
Right.
So
much of this can be explained by that.
That makes sense, especially for maybe acting like kind of unnatural.
Totally.
Per se, if you were getting heavy amounts of this.
That's exactly what it was.
And they were just mad
tripping.
And
then the dogs that were tripping as well from those rice cakes, you know, and they were like, oh, it's from the urine.
Yeah.
Sorry, you can probably hear our puppy going off, but we're just going to have to ignore him. but, you know, they would think that the urine was the thing that was making the dogs
go
wild.
That's what you would go to first, I feel like.
Right. But it was probably actually the grain inside of it.
So they were eating like a little, bundle of psychedelics, pretty much.
Basically, and then a lot of people could have been ingesting it as well, which you know.
And if
back
you
to
were,
the cold weather.
And if you were very into the church and beliefs, I could see how if they were really tripping and really acting unnatural or different from their normal selves, that they might think automatically go to that.
Exactly.
Because I do think that the belief system was that hardcore. Like they were really into God. Like God was everything. It was the reason for.
So honestly, I mean, you could really argue that the Salem witch trial is really a mix of all of these different things.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, is that it's totally that.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit of all perfect these theories storm into one. But even then, we don't know if that's the truth or not. So ergot poisoning seems like definitely one of the most popular theories, though, mm-hmm. among people that know about the Salem witch trials.
I think it explains it completely.
But definitely a combination of things, too, for mm-hmm. sure. But after the witch trials actually were over and all this was kind of in the past, things did not get better for the village of Salem. In fact, the whole colony pretty much suffered, and people had been so determined upon hunting out and destroying witches that they had neglected everything else. Mm-hmm. They forgot about planting, cultivating, the care of the houses, barns, roads, and fences were all forgotten. Like, they dropped That's the insane. Ball on everything and completely focused on hunting witches. What so the hell? Outrageous. Like, why?
Oh,
it just
gosh.
Seems crazy to it me. Like, seem the whole crazy. Story seems just insane to me.
So, obviously, now you could still even visit the area where this happened. Yeah. There's tons of, like, museums and even shops that are yeah. related to the Salem witch trials in Salem. And I know that people go there for Halloween and stuff. It's kind of interesting how it's still so popular today. Like, people still are talking about it.
Yeah.
And it was so long ago. I mean, 1692, that's a long ways away from now.
The very beginning of like yeah. our American history, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah. And we still talk about it every year around yeah, this they, time. People talk about it.
They finally like acknowledged it like officially by the government stuff and right. apologized for it.
It's so
not
weird
that
we had
ago.
To officially yeah, acknowledge
it's weird,
it.
Like
yeah.
these old events.
We never have. Did. It's
like, which I mean is good because there's people that live on that are family of these victims and stuff. So mm-hmm. of the poor people that died in this.
Yeah.
Event.
There are people that drive by that hill every day where yeah. they all were hanging.
I'm sure the paranormal activity in Salem today is yeah. just out of this world.
If you live in this area or if you've been and you have a story for us, please let us know in the comments.
Yeah, please share, because I would love to go visit and just, I haven't been to New England yet, so I know
you
it's
really
such
haven't,
a,
huh?
No, I've only been to New York City, which
it's
is
so
not
rich in history.
Old
it's
in history.
Unreal.
Well, it is old in history, but it's not. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. New England, you know, I haven't been to like where the colonies were,
right.
where the very foundation of America was built. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. Need
where
to go
Paul
there.
Revere wrote down yeah. and stuff. Like, I haven't seen all that.
I know. Yeah. It's pretty interesting.
I'm sure
stuff.
It'd be super mind blowing.
It really is.
To transport yourself.
Well, it doesn't
back
feel there. Like that long ago when you can see it, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
It
when
puts
you're,
it into perspective
when
where
you're actually
like,
there.
This is still standing here from yeah. that time.
Mm hmm.
Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there today, guys. Hopefully you found this story of the Salem witch trials interesting, and the whole witch hunt thing is a very interesting topic, I feel like. And,
it really is.
And a really tragic one at that, because I feel like most, if not all, these people did not deserve the ends that they got. Cause
no.
Brutal, brutal.
Sounds like some really good people, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. It's really sad. But we hope you're having a great day. We will see you guys next week. Stay safe.
And stay woke.
We'll see you guys next time.